Welcome to the Atlas Mara Full Year 2017 Investor Call. For the first part of this conference, all participants are on listen-only mode, so there's no need to mute your own individual lines, and afterwards there'll be a question-and-answer session. I'll now hand the call to our first speaker, Bob Diamond. Please begin.
Thank you very much, and welcome everyone to our 2017 results presentation. Ken Rory and I will keep this tight and go to questions and answers in just a few minutes. 2017 was a year for us of delivering on our promises, our commitment around costs and around profitability. And quite frankly, we're hitting on all cylinders. Let's canter through exactly those promises on the first slide on page 4. It began with strong operating performance. As I said, we delivered on promises of cost savings. We committed to take $20 million in costs out of the center, and we took $27 million in costs out of the center. We committed to double net profit to $17 million. We delivered $45 million. Importantly, we have appointed John Staley as CEO. John brings significant experience in digital, in IT, in infrastructure, in developing a retail platform, and doing so much more in his former position at Equity Bank in Kenya. We're also able to execute on our Nigerian strategy, moving from just over 30% to 48% ownership of Union Bank in Nigeria. We've continued our improvements in our portfolio and our deposit mix, higher net interest income, higher net interest margin, stable loan book, reduced cost of funds. The targeted growth in markets and treasury continues. Our new partner, Fairfax, is perfectly aligned, and as we continue in 2018, we're better positioned than ever. Looking at the slide on page 5, I'll just highlight a couple of the performance highlights. In retail and commercial banking, we are far more focused. We have a leaner structure. We're more cost efficient. We've exited the headquarters in Johannesburg and are now headquartered in Botswana. We've improved our cost of funds from 6.3% to 5.5%. And as I mentioned, our NPL and other important measures have continued to improve. Our digital initiatives have rolled out a number of new products. To highlight one, we have now deployed the best-in-class internet banking platform in Rwanda. And in markets and treasury, we continue to increase the importance of that business to Atlas Mara. And most recently, it's the build-out of our offshore desk in Dubai, which will match our onshore business and gives us the position for continued growth. Turning to slide 6, our partnership and our capital raise. Our partnership with Fairfax is transformative. They were able to fully underwrite a $200 million capital raise last year, a capital raise of permanent capital that reinforced our collective commitment to financial services and the perfect alignment of our vision for sub-Saharan Africa and the important role of financial services there. That $200 million capital raise last year from Fairfax and our existing investors allowed us to improve our position in our most critical market, Nigeria, with our increased position in Union Bank of Nigeria. And I will say to our team, perfectly timed and perfectly executed. Moving to slide 7, the appointment of John Staley as CEO is important as we go forward. John was the former head of finance, innovation, and technology at Equity Bank, and he had been with the Equity Group since 2002. John will allow us to accelerate the build-out of a very strong and very consistent IT and infrastructure across the footprint and deepen our commitment to digital channels and the broader technology-enabled growth and efficiency that is so important to banking in sub-Saharan Africa. So that brings me to 2018 and our six critical initiatives. First and foremost, for me and for the board, to work closely with John and the executive team on the implementation of our action plan. Secondly, to continue to drive better underlying performance in our core banks around NPLs, around net interest income, around cost of funds, around cost income ratio, around deposit levels. Third, to intensify our focus on digital strategy and initiatives. Fourth, to enhance our IT and infrastructure so we become the most efficient bank in our peer group. Fifth, to continue to broaden our markets client base and accelerate revenue growth. The build-out of our offshore business is critical to this. And lastly, to continue to develop our long-term strategy for our bank in Nigeria, Union Bank of Nigeria. We have a lot on our plate as 2018 continues, but 2017 has continued to give us confidence and momentum as we do that. Let me turn over now to Kenroy, our Chief Financial Officer, to take you through some of the key numbers.
Thanks, Bob, for setting a good frame to share details on the 2017 numbers. I will start with slide number 9 of the 2017 results presentation. This is the third consecutive year of profitability for the company. As Bob mentioned, we reported 2017 net income of $45 million compared to $8.4 million in 2016 and earnings per share of 42 cents compared to 12 cents in 2016. We note that 2017 reported profit benefited from the inclusion of a one-off gain of $20.6 million associated with the successful acquisition of the additional shares in UBN. This gain arose as a result of the fair value of the shares acquired. On an adjusted operating profit basis, which excludes certain non-recurring revenues and costs, our operating profit for 2017 was $37 million versus $20 million in 2016. The enhancement of year-on-year of net income is driven by higher revenue, cost savings in the shared services and center, and the full accounting impact of the additional 13.4% share of the UBN completed in October 2017. Bob also highlighted that we delivered $27 million in shared services and center cost savings, exceeding the stated guidance of $20 million. Though we successfully executed cost savings of more than $20 million, this figure was to some extent offset by inflation-related cost increases in certain countries and the non-recurring costs of integration and branding associated with our newly rebranded operation in Zambia. I now direct your attention to slide number 10, which shows our income statement. Total revenue of $260 million increased by 7.8% year-on-year and is attributable to a continued focus on revenue growth, increase net interest margins, sustain market and treasury business revenue, and the full year impact of the Zambia acquisition. Net interest income grew by 12.8% on a constant currency basis, mainly driven by growth in Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Zambia. Zambia being a result of the full 12-month impact of the inclusion of the results of the acquired bank versus only 6 months impact for the comparative period in 2016. We've seen non-interest income grew modestly to $115 million relative to $114 million in 2016. Non-interest income includes the impact of a fair value gain of $26.8 million associated with the acquisition of the additional stake in UBN, which we mentioned previously. Staying on slide number 10, our cost-to-income ratio was 85.5% in 2017 compared to 97.1% in 2016. This ratio remains higher than we would like it to be, and it's partly due to a continuous investment in our operations to facilitate future growth. Underlying total cost of $213 million excluding one-offs represented a decrease of 1.7% year-on-year. On slide number 11, we present our key balance sheet metrics. Overall deposits of $260 million in 2017 was broadly flat on a constant currency basis, with $94.3 million increase driven by corporate banking clients in Zimbabwe being offset by lower deposits in Botswana, Mozambique, Tanzania, and Zambia. A key focus for the group remains targeting cheaper transactional deposits to decrease costs of funding as evidenced by the upward shift of transactional deposits in the deposit mix. The loan-deposit ratio for 2017 is 70.8% compared to 74.2% for the same period ending December 2016. Customer loans and advances of $1.3 billion comprise approximately 42.5% of the group total assets base. Overall loans and advances remained flat in 2017. However, as Bob also already mentioned, non-performing loans as a percentage of the loan book declined to 11.8% relative to 13.3% in 2016. This reflects our improved credit monitoring and collection processes. In both Zambia and Zimbabwe, there are a handful of single name exposures that are significantly skewing the overall group NPL ratio. Excluding certain accounts in Zambia and Zimbabwe, which we are working on, the group's NPL ratio reduces to 9.3% from the reported 11.8%. As reported on slide number 14, all of Atlas Mara operating banks complied with local minimum capital adequacy requirements. In Zambia, while the bank is compliant with the minimum capital adequacy requirement, the bank is deficient in the absolute capital requirement of 520 million kwacha, a specific requirement set by the central bank for foreign-owned banks in Zambia. An ongoing remediation plan to address the gap approved by the Central Bank of Zambia is at an advanced stage of implementation. I turn your attention to slide number 15. Our investment in Union Bank of Nigeria of 44.5% at the end of 2017 is equity accounted for in the statement of financial position as an investment and associate with a closing balance of $442 million. The value of the asset has increased due to the completion of the additional 13.4% acquisition, which I've already mentioned was completed in October 2017. I echo Bob's emphasis on the key focus areas for the future. While we not only met but exceeded the target profit for 2017, the returns being generated by the business remain below the level to which we aspire. We remain committed to improving our core operational metrics. We will intensify our efforts and initiatives to grow low-cost retail deposits across the group, facilitate regional corporate banking relationships, manage down our NPL ratio, improve credit processes, and expand our digital products capabilities to further support the growth of our business. We also remain focused on operational improvements around credit and control that requires some investment to strengthen our platform. We continue to build out our digital products offering and further expect the efforts around growing transactional banking services across the region to improve revenues. Finally, given the significance and importance of Nigeria and UBN to our business strategy, we look forward to working with the UBN management to capitalize on expected growth we see for the future, particularly post a successful rights issue. I now hand over to Bob to chair our Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy to take questions before I give a summary. Operator, you can turn to questions. Operator, I take it there.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find it's answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel. So once again, that's 01 to ask a question, or 02 if you need to cancel. Our first question comes from Lee Cooperman of Omega Advisors. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah. I'd like a little elaboration. You know, you strike the position that your stock is very undervalued and that you're very optimistic about the outlook. If I take this financing you've announced today, and I take $16 million and I divide by 2.475, basically, and then I divide, so the, Fairfax is buying a little under 6.5 million shares. If I deduct from the cost of the shares to them the fee they're getting for making their commitment, their cost of their stock is $2.30 versus the last sale of $2.80. In addition, I think they get 9% or whatever it is on their money until conversion or maturity to sometime in 2020. What are you going to do with this money that you're selling stock at half of book value? What is the return on the money you're raising going to be, and how accretive or dilutive is this transaction going to be?
Lee, as we talked earlier, there's as there were last year with the $200 million fully underwritten capital raise, the opportunity for us to invest that primarily in UBN at a very, very attractive price to book, very attractive rights issue following it. I think that was targeted very well. We continue to see opportunities to invest. We've talked about our digital business. We've talked about IT and infrastructure. And we've talked about, importantly, the markets and treasury business, all of which will continue to grow in a very substantive way with very high returns.
And you're giving me qualitative. You're giving me qualitative observations. I gave you quantitative observation. We sold stock at $2.30 to Fairfax. The book is roughly 4.5. What are you going to do with the money quantitatively, not qualitatively? Quantitatively, what does that $2.30 stock issuance do for us in terms of earning opportunities on the cash that you're getting?
Yeah.
Not qualitatively. I know you're very optimistic and you talk very glowingly. All I know is we did the original financing at 10, and now we're issuing stock at 230.
Well, that's not quite the right way to look at it, particularly as we talked about last year. With that fundraising and the returns that we're getting both in the share price and in the investment in UBN. But to get to the technicals, I'll ask Kenroy to add.
Yes, thanks, Bob. I think to the specific question about the accretive nature, the two main businesses are not, that we indicated where the funds will be utilized in terms of markets and treasury and also in terms of digital. Just as an indication, these are also the offshore businesses where we look at margins upwards of 20% in the case of digital, because they're significantly in terms of offshore transactions in the digital on lending space, which is high margins and high businesses. So from that perspective, that's what we are investing in. The second one is, Bob mentioned, is on the offshore treasury businesses, which are also high margin, high volume, high churn business. And that one is high teens as well, more high to mid-teens, I would say. So if you look at it from the perspective of the cost of the funding across the board, if you look at it not just Fairfax, but also what we expect for all of the funding, it will be accretive from a high margin perspective. And those are the two main areas where we'll be focusing the business, the funding, sorry. Thank you.
I don't know. I'm still not understanding the answer. Do we expect to have materially higher earnings in 2018 and 2019 as a result of this transaction? That's the question I'm asking.
We expect the transaction itself to contribute to materially higher earnings specific to the transaction. So the answer is yes. Do we do expect, in fact, that these will be accretive and high-yielding earnings that will contribute to the bottom line?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you. Once again, if there are any further questions, please dial 01 on your telephone keypads now. And we have a few further questions coming through. The first is from Guy Thomas of Hazel Clark Edward Farrow. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. Could I just direct you to slide 13, please?
Yeah.
Just down in the bottom left there, we have loans and advances over the past few years. and deposits. Deposits are increasing. They've increased about 22% since 2014. Advances seem much more static, and indeed we're flat year on year in the latest year. You haven't commented on the advances, you know, lack of growth in the statement. So I just wondered if you could say something about whether that that is sort of part of the strategy, or whether that's disappointing, or you know, what your plans are around the trend in deposits versus loans and advances. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to address that directly, the main contributor in 2017 was actually Zambia, where it was pretty much flatline. Yeah, and in a sense, it was a deliberate effort as we focus on ensuring we got the integration fully on board. Our expectation now that we have Zambia pretty much fully integrated is that we would see much more of an uptick in terms of the loan book. The second less significant factor was more depreciation in some of the currencies, which have also, in the case of Mozambique and to a less extent in the case of Zambia. But definitely the main factor really is Zambia. And to your point, our expectation is that now that we have that on board, we'll see an increase. I did comment it earlier in terms of the flat line position, but it's a very good observation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tom Burke of Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes. Just addressing the loan loss ratio, wanted to get maybe a more tangible target, what you guys are shooting for in terms of that number. Seems to be trending in the right direction. Give us a little more color on that.
First, maybe it's linked to the previous question, starting from just looking at it from an NPL perspective. We are always target to be under 10% by this year. We just missed it barely. But at the same time, keeping in mind the loan book hasn't been growing. So the absolute total level of NPLs have, in fact, been reducing. From a loan loss perspective, we have always looked at it to be significantly less than 1%. It's moving in the right direction in terms of a credit loss ratio trends. There's some spotty numbers, or I would say sticky numbers, as I mentioned in my presentation, around in Zim and Zambia that we're working through. But definitely we are happy it's moving in the right direction. And we expect, in terms of the NPLs, as we see the book increase, and as we continue to enhance our credit and monitoring processes, to see overall this to continue to move in the right direction.
Okay, great. So with regards to Zim and Zambia, are you going to keep us abreast of developments in terms of, I assume it's loan recovery, et cetera? Can you just characterize that a bit more and what kind of how this is going to, that story is going to flow over the next months and quarters?
Yes, we will be coming back to you at different points in the year through our quarterly reporting, and we typically showcase increased recoveries. I think Zim, it's recorded in the RNS, has shown a positive contribution to recoveries, and we expect that to continue, and we will present more of that as we include the information to investors in the coming quarters. Thank you.
Okay, great. Just regarding Rwanda, obviously that is a country that has been showing some stellar growth, great macroeconomic indicators, and seems to be a general, seems to be a well-run country these days. Does that Rwanda geographic strategic positioning, does that set up a platform for more growth in the region, say, I don't know, Uganda, Kenya, and these areas? Can you comment on that at all?
It's very perceptive. It's a very business-friendly environment. A lot of our technology initiatives have been driven there. As I said, our world class digital bank. The first rollout was Rwanda, and it's really fun to see. I encourage you to look at what we've done there in terms of digital. And we do think, particularly with President Kagame taking over the presidency of the African Union and leading so many cross-border initiatives, that the opportunities in the East African community stand above many other areas of Africa in terms of fostering cross-border trade, mobility of labor, transport, goods and services. And so we very much agree with what you said, is having a very strong base in Rwanda allows us to do a lot of development of technology and digital, but also to be at the forefront of cross-border trade and expanding our business throughout the East African community.
I would also add, in the case of Rwanda, we are very proud of what has been achieved in the past 12 months in terms of the integration, the bank's profitability, the reduction in operating expenses, also the funding that we've closed with FMO and Propaco, which are respectively Dutch and French DFIs, to support SMEs, corporate banking, and digital banking. So I think that, to combine with Bob's point, it sets a great platform for other things that we can do. And we're very happy also with the management team, which we indicated we've introduced a new MD, which is, quite frankly, we're very proud of.
Okay, great. And just a little bit, so what kind of sectors in that from your Rwandan asset are you kind of seeing great opportunities? You know, it's in a unique place. We're talking, you know, sandwiched between everything from the Congo, Uganda, Kenya, etc. So it could be anything from mining to, I guess, some of the more innovative emerging businesses. Any comments?
I think we're first and foremost always about retail business and trying to seek a balance between our consumer and our retail business and our business and corporate business. So it's really both. I think within sectors, some of the most exciting sectors for us are agriculture is an example. And I think not just in Rwanda, which has never been resource rich, but throughout Africa, even in the resource rich countries, we're seeing less and less dependence on resources and more investment in industries such as agriculture and consumer goods.
Okay. Obviously, Fairfax would agree with you on that for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. It's okay, great. Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Is that it, operator?
No. Our next question comes from Rob Stewart of Posca Fund. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi there, thanks. Just a couple. Firstly, I just wonder if you could elaborate on the previous questions around loan growth. And I don't know if you've sort of got any kind of aspirational targets, thinking about that on a consolidated level. Secondly, just on OPEX, I think I might have heard you incorrectly, but I think you said that there were some one-offs on the revenue side and you know, to do with obviously the UBN transaction. But on the OPEX in Q4, I was just wondering if there was anything in there, and if so, can you quantify that? And then finally, on UBN, I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, realistically, I mean, how quickly could that become a consolidated part of the business?
So I'll deal first with the on the OPEX side. I think, quite frankly, there were no significant major one-offs in terms of OPEX in 2017 Q4. I think on slide number 10, we showed the trajectory on a quarterly basis. I think the total expenses actually is in line. I think there were some additional spend on IT, et cetera, but beyond that, I wouldn't say there was anything of critical significance. That's point number one. To your earlier point, we are not giving any guidance in terms of the expectations for loan growth other than the fact what I said earlier in terms of the main cause for the flatline position in 2017 and our expectations definitely as part of our strategy to in fact see much more significant growth. And I think as we see in the coming quarters, we will be reporting on those. I think we're not going to comment at this point in time in terms of the timing or anything in terms of expectation on consolidated UBN. I think that we are at a point where we are working very closely with the management in also implementing the strategy. I think in time we will continue to drive growth and we feel very happy in terms of how we're able to work with the management at this time. But definitely it's an important part of our strategy.
Okay, thanks. Can I just follow up then on the cost point? You know, thinking about the sort of exit run rate on costs in Q4 was obviously, you know, kind of going back in the wrong direction. I just wondered, how much further can you drive that down? How quickly?
Honestly, I think if you the expected run rate in terms of total OpEx. Quite frankly, we can expect to drive that down. We have successfully done that in the second half of the year, especially in the center. I think the items that would maybe a little bit more sticky, which we are focused on, is contributions to IT and infrastructure. So we can always see some contribution in that regard. But overall, as we see the revenues grow, we feel comfortable that will be in line in terms of an overall cost to income perspective. But definitely from staff costs, we're very comfortable in terms of where we are. I think the ones that where we are committed to and which we are comfortable making that investment is in terms of not CapEx, but definitely recurring expenses that enhance our IT and infrastructure platform. But on the staff and the other costs, I think we have that moving definitely in very much in the right direction. And we've already discussed at length the successful move in terms of reduction of costs at the center, which is obviously was a critical part of our objectives in 2017.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And the next question comes from Christoph Karl of Smart Investor. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello. I have a question regarding you. You accounted for 20 million from getting additional shares in UBN. What I don't understand is that you account 444 million for your 48% of UBN, but as far as I can see, the market value of the shares is below this book value. So how can you give us a bit more details about how do you calculate those 20 million in gain in that share if market value is still below your book value?
Sure. So, just to be very clear, it's number one in terms of the value that is recorded for the purchase is significantly less than the market value. That's part number one. And secondly, it's also in terms of what is the value that you recognize the equity for. Relative to the book value and also which is stress test in terms of for UBN. So it's looking at the differential between a stress test valuation for the book value and also the purchase price, which is less than market. And that's, in fact, the differential that's captured as a gain.
Okay. Yeah, understood. And I have a second question. If I look at your quarterly earnings in 2017, what I notice is that net interest income is going down a bit while non-interest revenue is going up. So at the same time, you reduced funding costs. So can you give us an explanation why those two things are going in different directions?
Yeah, no, I think the net interest, it's a very good observation. I think the net interest income definitely is obviously tied to what we've been seeing on the loan book position and also, differential country experience. So that's a drive, and obviously linked to the first question, we'd want to see that continue to move in a more upward trend. I think on the non-interest revenue, it's a reflection of many things. It's the expansion of some of the other business lines. It's also it's in the case of Q4, it's also, as I mentioned before, it does include the gain, so that's a bit of a skew in the case of Q4. But in terms of the upward trend, it's also reflecting some of the other business lines and the continued increase in terms of other sort of banking operations, which we are very happy about in terms of the success of those business lines.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if there are any further questions on the line, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now. And we have a follow-up from Tom Burke of Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, gentlemen, just wanted to get this is more just an investor relations question. You guys going to sort of step up your efforts, seeing that you feel that things are turning in the right direction here? I'm calling from Montreal, Canada, so as you can imagine, we hold Fairfax in high regard, so it's kind of an easy segue into maybe telling the Atlas Mara story. Yeah, and just like to see your thoughts on kind of stepping up investor relations. Even a stock trading seems to be, surprisingly sparse, given the fact that you're listed, you're obviously listed in London, but you do have that that OTC listing as well in the States that we use to try and trade stock from time to time, buy stock. Can you give us an indication of any stepped-up efforts for IR?
Well, I'll make a couple of comments. It's Bob, and then pass on to Kenroy, who has IR as part of his very broad portfolio of activities. In terms of your comment on Fairfax, I think it's raised the profile a bit to have a partner like Fairfax, at over a 40% shareholder. And we share in common a very, very clear vision for the opportunity in sub-Saharan Africa. We share that if that's correct, financial services will be at the very, very forefront of the opportunities that we can take advantage of. And third, the focus on permanent capital. This is a longer-term investment, and we have both organic and strategic opportunities ahead of us. But the opportunity here is to continue to build the premier financial institution in sub-Saharan Africa, and having a partner like Fairfax who has their track record, permanent equity, clarity of vision has been very enhancing, and we saw that in the returns last year, which were good. In terms of specific IR actions, some we can talk about, some we can't, but Kenroy, maybe you can take a crack at some of the ones that we're comfortable with.
Well, first, I want to say thanks for the feedback in terms of us continuing to step up our engagement with investors. I think in 2017, we focused primarily in terms of telling the story around two main messages around the early part of the year in terms of streamlining the business and the second part of the year of the strategy. Without a doubt, to your point, that was a smart story. We need to sustain that messaging. We are looking at ways in which we can have far more external communication, either in terms of engagement at conferences and also meeting investors. This past year, we spent a lot of time on the continent in terms of mobilizing additional investors. So from that perspective, we have a clear-cut strategy of in fact, getting more investors in. I think in this past 2017, a lot of it was in terms of building through those two points I mentioned. But indeed, looking forward, the focus is in terms of more messaging and more engagement, because you are right in terms of the importance of that, clarifying the story, clarifying where we go before. But thanks very much for the feedback.
Yeah, I mean, just getting back to the point, I mean, and to Leon's point, when you have those events where you know, you're doing issues below market price, et cetera, these types of things. I mean, we got to break away from that, and it's really a lot of, and for a small cap company, it's a lot of blocking and tackling, right? You have to get down on the, you know, grassroots, get people engaged and really attracted to your story. And if you guys, you know, start pounding the pavement a little more, I believe that you're going to see the, you know, a stock price that starts better reflecting your future prospects now that things seem to be a bit more stabilized here. So, and I'm sure you guys don't want to just listen to Leon all the time complaining. I mean, sure you want to get a new audience to have people that are sort of looking at your story with some fresh eyes, right?
Well, the best news for our investors was the return in 2017 in the share price. So I think that is, you know, that will help with interest. We continue to increase volumes will help as well. We have a lot to do.
Absolutely. So anyway, I hope to see more efforts in that direction. Thank you.
We'll call on you for some help.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if there are any further questions, please dial 01 on your telephone keypads now. Okay, that seems to be the final question, so I'll hand back to our speakers for the closing comments.
Thank you. So just to wrap up where I started, 2017 was a year where we truly delivered on our promises, and we're pleased with the return on the share price, but we have a lot of work to do. 2018 has six critical initiatives. We'll be working closely with John to onboard our new chief executive. We're going to focus on continued improvement. It was great improvement in 17 in the underlying performance of our banks. There's more to play for. Digital will continue to play a bigger and bigger role as it's doing in our Rwanda business. IT and infrastructure can be a competitive advantage. And with John's experience in this area, we'll begin moving forward on that in 2018. Our opportunity in the markets and treasury business, particularly with the addition of an offshore business to complement our onshore business, and last but by no means least, a continued focus on Nigeria and our outstanding bank in Nigeria, Union Bank of Nigeria. With that, thank you for joining the call. Thank you for your questions. We're always available. Back to work. Thank you.
This now concludes the conference. Thank you all very much for attending. You may now disconnect.